Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Well, was it a storm in the teacup? Was it something that took off on social media but failed to take off in the real world? I don't know. But there was meant to be a national shutdown today, and it didn't happen. Helping us to make sense of all of this is Godfrey Malozzi, and he is from the Institute for Security Studies. Godfrey, welcome to the show.
Hi. Greetings to the listeners as well.
Godfrey, this national shutdown, was it genuine? Is there discontent with our president? Or was there an opportunity for criminality to take place like we saw last month? Or was it just hot?
Look, I think it could answer it in whether genuine or not, the intention could have been there. But given the experiences of the past, the alertness on the part of the law enforcement made it difficult for those who were organizing to execute the plan. So the intention could have been twofold, either to also send an intimidation, but also to test the grounds, whether people might also want to join in as well. But I think the lessons, of course, from the recent unrest looting that we have experienced in the country, that the people themselves, citizens, are not really in favor of that. I mean, the results, of course, were devastating, destroying life, property, jobs, and so forth.
Godfrey, you've said something so interesting there, and I wish we could take away more from it. And that's the fact that our government and law enforcement have learned from the mistakes of being ill-prepared the last time around. And this was a great dress rehearsal because we weren't sure whether it would or wouldn't happen. But if one read between the lines, we could see that there were people trying to stir up the emotions of the people, but the chances of this being a success were next to nothing. Do you think we've reached a point within the criminal justice cluster where they're going to start taking away lessons from the mistakes of the past? The most immediate mistake was the ill-preparedness of our crime intelligence with regards to the unrest we saw in July. And we've now seen through preparedness that the potential of a threat today was thwarted. What else do you think our law enforcement can take away from these kind of intelligence failures moving forward? And what other mistakes do you believe they can learn from?
I think that lesson number one is that crime fight is not solely resting on the doors of the law enforcement agencies in their diverse, whether intelligence, whether police, soldiers. So the lesson that police learned was that there is a need to also have effective partnership with civil society and the community at large on the ground. So we saw today that, or in the week, over the weekend, over the week since that those WhatsApp messages were circulating, the police were going out, also mobilizing communities and structures within the communities to partner in sharing information should they hear or see anything to this effect. So I think that is lesson number one, that crime fighting, it needs to be a joint effort. Police needs to learn to work with communities, mobilize communities as well, and to fight crime jointly. Now, number two, I think it is that it is the question that we as civilians as well need to ask ourselves, that how best can we support the rule of law? Not us as being police officers, not us as being taxi associations or community policing forums, but just us as civilians, the media fraternity as well. How collectively can we support the rule of law? And I think that is the lesson that all of us have learned from that, and also with our law enforcement.
Godfrey, it would be remiss of me not to have you on the line as a researcher at the Institute for Security Studies, not to mention that we are in the last week of Women's Month. And we always see during Women's Month, the police come out and they start talking about arrests that they've made, sentences that they've made, that the courts have given out in respect of GBV offenders, the femicide stats, the rape stats. But that's just one year, 1 month in an entire year. From a researcher's perspective, do we see a move by our law enforcement to take more seriously the significant plight that our women and children are suffering at the hands of violent offenders in South Africa?
No, definitely. Most definitely. I think that women, children, elders are most vulnerable groups within societies. And so the campaign continue to gain momentum. The president would continue to make statements and so on as organizations. And I think now there's still some disturbing trends on the part of police who not necessarily take this. I mean, we have seen an incident in Motherwell police station where a group of females went there to report the hijack, and the scuffle ensued in the police station between the group of women and the police officers, to a point where they had to pepper spray the women to get out of the station. Ministry had now said they're investigating the incident. So I think that if police themselves have not really come to terms with the significance, the danger that vulnerable groups, women, children, and the elders are facing in our societies, it might be a long battle to win. But I think efforts are there, the intentions, the willingness is there. And of course, there might be rotten apples here and there on the law, on the part of the law enforcement. So I think that if the law enforcement could come to grips with this, the community itself would be able to come together to clamp down this gender-based violence, and particularly directed to women and children and the elders as well.
Godfrey Mulwazi from the Institute for Security Studies, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I look forward to chatting again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, my brother.